Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Thanks for watching today on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our stellar affiliates across the country. On today's program, we will run down the entire slate in the NFL for this weekend, upset alert in college football, props that we like. Also for tonight in the NBA, a lot of stuff sticks out to us. Evan Abrams on the show coming up in 30 minutes. Incredible numbers. You're not going to believe what he has on the Panthers and the Browns this weekend. Mike Somich, VSiN host, with a ton of bets in the NFL. And Bob Condotta, who covers the Seahawks, has for now many, many years. How good are they? Yesterday, Paul Charchin said they're going to win the Super Bowl. Does he agree that they're that good this season? They're better than both teams that played last night, I'll tell you that, Paulie. That was an absolute stink bomb on a Thursday night. But the whole time I'm watching the game, thinking to myself, can it get any worse? And it did. It just kept getting uglier by the moment, I thought. 13-3 and outs overall in the game, 15 punts. And what a tweet from Bill Smith. The Broncos and Raiders each had more penalties than they did first downs. Second time since 1950, the first time battle of 0-5 expansion teams back in 1976. And yes, I had one of my remaining survivor entries on Denver.
Never in doubt. Good job, my man. I know you were furious. I was the Sean Payton stuff. It's infuriating. You know, as you said, if you don't have Drew Brees as your quarterback, maybe it looks... But the third and one play was so bad. And then, you know, I'm glad on the pregame we pointed out 35-mile-per-hour wind's kind of a big deal. And then you see Thompson's notes flying around on the pregame. He tries a 59-yard field goal with the wind, and that wasn't even close.
Not even close.
After the third and one debacle. So, oh, man. They should have been down 20-0.
Yeah, I got to tell you, so hitting submit on that game yesterday for my final entry in Circa Survivor was not easy, but I hate Week 10 overall. And I feared the game going into it. I didn't even really want to watch. And it feels like every time there was a change of possession, I told myself, why am I still watching this game? I firmly believe in what Frank B., professional gambler, has told us on this show many times. And he's still alive in some of these Survivor contests. He doesn't watch the games because mentally it's way better for him that way. And I'm right there with him.
I like to take all my pain at once, he said.
Sure. Just reads the box score. He slowly goes down looking at the box score. And he's like, look how right I survived again this week. But it's agonizing for like 3 hours. And this was after the Rams defeat from 5 weeks ago on Thursday night wiped me out of five different entries. I said after that game, we lost another heart attack game, and you have to go undefeated in heart attack games to win one of these Survivor contests. So it's just, oh, God, it's painful the entire time. But even as that was an advancing, the Broncos' futures this year, they are looking bleaker by the week, and their defense is going to have to play like the 2015 team did. They carried that team to a title because Peyton Manning was almost shot at quarterback. That defense was so good. If they want to like be competitive at all in these playoff games, because they're 8-2 now, so they have so many wins banked, they're going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is going to have to be the best unit in football. Their offense is awful. It's broken.
I don't think it's that bad. I think, I'm shocked no one out of those 9,000 people they have on the pre- and post-game show pointed out, hey, I was a former player, and this has happened to me before. They play down to their level of competition. And also, when they stink, it's hideous and look away. The Jets' performance, the week one against the Titans, this as well, they should have been down 3 scores. I've never seen a punter with the yips. That's another one. I mean, a lot of the people in the audience are too young to remember this. In a playoff game, Sean Landetta actually missed the ball. He almost missed the ball on that punt.
He did.
What happened? And so with the Raiders pinning them, and then they get the 3-and-out, and then the shank, that leads to the touchdown. They don't do anything the rest of the game. Feel free to pull Geno Smith. Why are you trotting him back out there? He can't even move.
Clearly in pain.
Oh.
Right? They had to go to the blue tent with him twice. You have Kenny Pickett. What does that tell you about Kenny Pickett?
I don't know.
About what the coaching staff thinks of him as a quarterback.
Come on. Another bad job by Chip Kelly. They just fired the special teams coordinator. He had Wards on the sidelines with Carroll. high comedy that Bo Nix was the player of the game.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah. Come on. It's got to be someone defensively.
Oh, it's not Nick Benito? Nick Benito may have won Defensive Player of the Year last night. He was so good.
I talked with Kaylee after the game. There's Bo Nix again. So
they gave him... I didn't know that.
Couldn't believe it. And let's send it down to Kaylee with our player of the game, who scored 10 points. Absolutely. Wasn't even close. Noodle arm. You know, the win got to him as well. But to your point about this nasty defense and the fact with their record, and we all know they're Fugazi, and they remind us last year the Chiefs, the adjusted win total is 11.5. I already bet the Chiefs next week. Andy Reid coming off the bye. But to have all these sacks, they got 46 sacks after 10 games. That's more than 25 teams had all of last season. And then we've talked about how great they are on third down and holding opponents under 30% what they've done. The 2,000 bucks were able to do that. So it's got to improve somewhat with the offense, you would think. But then again, Sean Payton, run the ball, please. You have Dobbins. You have a good rushing attack. The stuff they're doing and rolling him out, and thank God Franklin had a couple of catches. But the stupid penalties, second and long, third and long, the razzle-dazzle stuff that didn't work, the punter with the yips, just an all-time performance. But they get the win again somehow, some way.
They were begging the Raiders to beat him in that game last night. And I can tell you this, in circa grandissimo, I know of at least one entry that was on Denver last night. And the reason why I know that is because the person who was on them reached out and told me.
Really?
That is correct, yes.
Oh, okay.
So I know at least one individual on there, like, God, thank God the game's over with and we got out of there alive. Okay. I don't blame them.
Yeah. You're right. How many times did the Raiders start in Denver territory? It was so similar to the week one game against Tennessee. They kept turning the ball over or a bad punt, great field position, and then they couldn't cash in. And then Carlson misses from 48. And, you know, another example of third and one, let's throw it. Oh, he gets sacked again. Bowers only has one catch.
Could not get him the ball last night.
Horrible night for props.
I actually thought Genty looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
And the offensive line actually got a good push there to begin the game.
Yeah, Genty's fine. He's not the problem. It's the play calling and the offensive line and the atrocious quarterback play. So, you know, the sky is falling. Everyone thinks they're total frauds. They might be right, but, you know, I still think they can get the one seed based on how easy the schedule is and how nasty the defense is.
Sure, and they're 8-2 already.
That's right.
So they could get the one seed overall.
But this is, but you look at the record of the teams they've beat here.
The resume, Paulie. They have defeated the following teams. 3-6 Cincinnati with Jake Browning. Last night, the Raiders 2-7 with Geno. They won that by 3 points. They beat 3-5 Houston with Davis Mills by 3 points. It was a miracle they won the game. Basically the same thing against the Jets overseas, 1-7 New York, Justin Fields. They won that 13-11. They somehow beat the Giants by 1 point. New York's 1-7. They beat the Titans by one score. They're 1-8. Good tweet from a longtime viewer of the show, Joe English. 4 straight wins by a total of 9 points versus 4 teams with a combined 7 wins.
Yep.
I think Nix is just trending in the exact opposite direction of where you need him to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if we're seeing the second-year regression overall or if this is just maybe the true quarterback that he is. And last year was kind of a fluke with how well he played as a rookie. By the way, the under, Evan Abrams coming up in about 20 minutes. His tweet after the game last night, the under is now 9-3 in Bo Nix's last 12 starts. And that is all since the calendar flipped to 2025. Best mark to the under in the NFL. Also, 2-5 ATS is a favorite this year. Worst of any quarterback. He was 8-0 ATS last season.
Mm-hmm. Plus 105 to win the division. Go take it, guys. I saw the tweets last night. Kansas City's going to be in all this. Okay, well, Kansas City's plus $1.45, and they play next week. So, and everyone dismissing the Chargers at plus 450. I know they have a ton of injuries, but the Chargers beat them, and the Chargers have a great offense, although it's a big blow to lose Alt. How about for the second game in a row, we had a guy block a punt with his face mask?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's another one.
And then, of course, the ball goes... going to be posted sometime soon in the offshore book.
The ball goes sideways. That's another one. But that's incredible. How do you have a jailbreak up front? Clear turnstile situation, and the guy it gets in so close to the punter, it goes right off his face mask.
I know.
Oh, we had everything last
twice night. Now already, like you said.
Yes.
And then, like, some of the props. Now, the prop by Franklin that Charge gave out yesterday, anytime touchdown, that got there. However, you notice how he missed out on the longest reception? Over 19.5 yards, and also that was as a result, he missed out on going over 40.5 yards as well.
Tippy toe.
Well, that one, he stepped out of bounds with a tippy toe.
Yeah.
But also, he was the guy, right? He was the player who deflected the ball, went up in the air, and the Raiders picked it off.
Yeah.
On the last one, he catches that one. He's going to have six catches for 45 yards. Or if he stays in bounds there, he's going to cover all those props that he gave out yesterday.
Yep.
The plus 185 in that neighborhood for an anytime touchdown is good, though.
That's right. Yeah, I just cannot believe how bad this Raider team is.
They're disgusting to watch.
I know.
I was furious last night watching them. How long is it going to be go on for?
You're right.
They've had one good year since that Super Bowl team in the early 2000s.
That's exactly right.
They're a comedy of errors every single week.
Find ways to lose. Carroll's also got to be livid, too, which I know the special teams guys I said earlier was the fall guy. But as he said, little hits from 68, you miss an extra point, and now he misses from 48.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you can't count on Carlson.
No, you can't. Where'd this come from?
I know.
Is he like a reliever where he just loses it one year? Carlson's been a really solid kicker for multiple seasons now. They have to get better. And I don't, how long is that going to be?
Well, here come the Kansas City Chiefs. You're struggling on offense. Now you got to roll against that defense, too.
They seem like they're 5 years away from being years away.
Yeah, right.
Lombardi always used to say that here. You're a year away from being a year away. But we've been saying that for 20 years now.
On the other side, the Raiders adjusted win totals 4.5. You find me 5 wins on this schedule. They're not going to beat the Cowboys out here on Monday night. They might beat the Browns. Then they play the Chargers, Broncos, Eagles, Texans, Giants, and Chiefs. They're going to win one game tops. They can't. No way. I can't believe the adjusted win total is 4.5.
They are a terrible outfit. Getting worse. Up next, we'll dive into Week 10 matchups coming up on Sunday. This game is screaming under with similar player props. We'll tell you the incredible numbers next here on VSiN. It's the season to come together over your holiday favorites at Starbucks. Warm up with a creamy caramel brulee latte. Get festive with an iced gingerbread chai or share a velvety peppermint mocha. Together is the best place to be at Starbucks. I have yet to have the iced gingerbread chai. For those of you not watching, oh my God, does that look sensational. I'm getting that tomorrow morning for sure.
Damn right.
That looks awesome. Okay. Week 10 games coming up, Paulie, National Football League. We will be on the air Sunday morning with the VSiN Pro Football Tailgate Show, 9 a.m. Eastern to noon every single Sunday. This game is going to be going on half an hour into the show in Berlin, Falcons at the against the Colts. Indy is laying 6.5, total 48.5. Is that number a tad high to you, or is this Atlanta team so up and down that you don't want a piece of them?
Well, it was a good performance last week, although they couldn't get the win, but season on the line here for Atlanta, but do you trust them, away from home? That's the other thing. But I think the Colts bounce back after what they did against Pittsburgh with all the turnovers, 6 of them. And with Sauce coming in now, they're great at taking away the number one wide receiver. They struggle against the number two. Mm-hmm. So you put Sauce on London, and can you slow down Robinson in that rushing attack? They did do a great job on Metcalf. He didn't do anything last week in that loss. So I think it's a big opportunity here for the Colts to get back on track and start talking about the one seed again. And it's, nothing more. The season on the line for Atlanta. We'll find out what they're made of. But I just believe in Steichen and how well this offense has looked, that they will bounce back over just an all-time horrible performance with 6 silly turnovers in that game against Pittsburgh.
How about this? Favorites of 3+ points in international games, 65% ATS.
That song, 39-14 and one straight up run. I'm surprised by that. The other thing, if they win this game, they go over their win total. They'd be the 6th team to do that this soon in the season, week 10, since 2002.
Damn.
If they're able to pull this off, right? So you have that, and you also have Baltimore that clinched their win total under with one more loss.
Very good. Paul Charchin came on the show yesterday, had a great breakdown, and he said, look, you're going to have to hold your nose on this one. But he made the case for Tyler Warren to go under his receptions, 4.5. It's -150. At least it was when he gave it out on the show yesterday. Think about this for a second. Part of the reason why is because Atlanta is elite at guarding tight ends. They have allowed 17 catches to the position on the entire year.
Yeah.
The Bills have allowed 22, their next closest. Eagles then 32. So they're like lapping the field with how good they are against tight ends. They've also only given up 176 yards to tight ends the entire year. Bills 220, Eagles 261. So they have allowed basically nobody playing that position to come close to being a big threat and killing them. Now, this guy, you could argue, is absolutely in the mix to win the Rookie of the Year, and he's had an impact on essentially every game that he's played in so far.
Mm-hmm.
Opta AI projections at vsin.com. You can go there to the website, /NFL props. Michael Penix, they have him going over his passing yards by about 30.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Dimes going over by about 21 yards, and they have, now Jonathan Taylor's numbers are bumped up sky high. 92.5. They have him going for like 71 yards in the game. Atlanta's defense, I mean, they have had good games this year.
Mm-hmm.
This team's one of the most difficult in the entire league for me to figure out, and yep, probably most people to figure out.
I got to go Pierce over again. Pierce has gone over every single game. Guru talked about it yesterday, John Hansen. He got a better number. It's got up there a little bit, but that's incredible that Pierce has done this and seems to catch a long bun every single week for these guys.
Let me make the case here for a couple of props in the Patriots-Buccaneers game. It's the first time I'm actually involved in this market where you can bet a quarterback and his passing plus rushing yards prop. And I went over Drake May, 274.5. First of all, Opta AI, they haven't, did you see this? They're projecting him for 314 yards in this game.
Yes.
314.
Yeah. And they think Mayfield struggles big time.
Yeah. So the Buccaneers are number one on defense in adjusted line yards against the run. They have the fourth best stuffed rate and are third best at the second level. I don't think the Patriots running backs, and now Stevenson is out, so I'm looking at you, Travion Henderson, is going to have a big impact on this game. The Buccaneers, then you flip it, right? Against opposing quarterbacks on the ground, they have allowed the seventh most rushing yards out of any team in the entire league, and they also give up 229 passing in the air, 11th most. Henderson's prop has been bet down, by the way. It's now low 50s. Two backs this entire season have surpassed that number against the Buccaneers all year long. Gibbs had 136. Kenny Walker had 86. McCaffrey had 54. Barkley had 43. Chubb 43. Bijan 24. Montgomery and Breece Hall each had 21. So they are, I mean, they're amazing here at slowing down the opposing running backs, but they're not great at slowing down running back quarterbacks on the ground, nor are they fantastic at slowing down like aerial attacks. So I think this is going to be a big Drake May game. And then on the flip side, the Patriots are actually better against opposing running backs on the ground this year against New England's defense. Cook, who is second in the league in yards, 49. Hubbard had 49 in the same game that Dowdle had 32. Genty, 38. Etienne, 33. Kamara, 31. Achan, 30. Junkins had 19. Rashad White's prop is 43.5. He's gone over that number two times the entire year.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Patriots have allowed 494 on the ground to running backs the entire year through nine games. The next closest through nine games, Indy, was 638. So I actually played an alternate number here on Rashad White. I played him under 47.5 at minus 145 today. But I think that's all correlated.
Yeah. I like the May rushing props again. Rushing yards over and longest rush over. And maybe it's just where Tampa says, okay, you can't run on these guys. It's historic what they've done. Let's just come out and sling it and throw it. And that's the way to attack this defense.
Maybe they get
these guys healthy, and maybe Baker has a big game here as well. But that's the way I would attack it if I'm Tampa Bay. And I'm with you on Henderson as well. And they were big on Henry too.
Oh, they're huge on Henry.
They love Henry this one. As well, when you're looking at some of these receiving numbers. So
I think they have him going, his prop's about 34.5. That's when I bet it. They have him going for like 54. And here's the thing about that, right? There's no Booty in this game either.
Right.
He has been ruled out of the game. So if they're projecting Drake May to go ballistic here with 314 yards, I think Hunter Henry is going to benefit from that big time.
Yeah.
And it looks like, by the way, DraftKings now at 35.5 on Henry, so he's going up.
I think a high-scoring game, entertaining game. I also like both teams to make a 33-yard field goal in this one, as I like both kickers, especially McLaughlin, in this one. And the winner is really thinking contender, and we can do something. And you're talking about winning the division, top two seed, all of it, if you keep doing this and get the big win here.
By the way, from a side standpoint, I like the Buccaneers in the game.
Uh-huh.
Below a field goal, off the bye, at home. Don't you kind of, I mean, with Bowles going up against a first/second-year quarterback?
Angle. Yep, that's another good angle.
Yeah, Buccaneers are a play for me here. The Giants are playing at the Bears. Do you think Chicago is going to be popular in Survivor? It's a tough week. Now, this was supposed to be 70% rain slash snow, but it's dried up.
I don't think, yeah, probably not because of the defense, but it just should be a unbelievable game for Chicago running backs and Manungai and Swift, whoever you want to run out there. As Chart said yesterday, the Giants have allowed 450 rushing yards the last two games, 38 and 33 points the last couple games. Dart continues to go over his rushing prop. I like him again. He's in the low 40s. Robinson with all his targets, I think he'll get to 50 yards in this one, but they can't stop anything. And Bears first quarter again, but this is a big opportunity here now for the Bears because they're supposed to win this game, and they've won 5 of 6, but like Denver, their opposition is 12-31-1 with those wins. And now it gets difficult coming up because now you're getting some more division games and you get a lot of playoff teams coming up after this, and I think it's three division leaders coming up as well. So it didn't go well early on when they lost to the Vikings and they got throttled in Detroit. The schedule's been kind to them right now, but they're taking advantage of it, and the offense has been great. Special teams, another one. I know the special teams coordinator said, this is ridiculous what's going on. I mean, the Bengals start off with a kickoff return. They're missing field goals. They have to fix that as well. But this is a game you're supposed to win, and the Giants just can't stop anything, so the Bears should be able to get what they want offensively.
Heavy winds in this game. Looks like maybe 35, 40 miles an hour at Soldier Field. So that could obviously impact the passing games here. But like you said, Wan'Dale Robinson, if he's ever going to have a big game, isn't this the one? The Bears have allowed the fourth most yards to wide receivers and 13 touchdowns overall, second most. Would you look at playing Wan'Dale Robinson anytime touchdown here as a result? I think I might have to get involved with him. Or is it going to be a big Jackson Dart game running the football?
Take off, yeah. I think, yeah, I have to, every single week he gets it done. So I played his rushing yards over again when you look what he's done. They're on a 7-2 overrun as well, going back ATS too. So
you hear anything from your Giant source?
I got nothing here.
Nothing?
No, not much. Maybe it's a tight end game too. He could do that. Dump it off to Johnson maybe, but that's... It's
hard or Loveland.
I know, it's hard to get... Well, for the Bears, yes. But it's hard to get a read on what the Giants are doing now with the key injuries.
Dart at VSiN.com projected to go over his passing prop by about 14 yards. And also, they have him going under his running prop.
No, I can't.
No.
No way.
I couldn't bet it under. Evan Abrams on the program coming up next. Does a great job with trends and numbers throughout the entire NFL season. You won't believe what he has on the Panthers and Browns. Find out next here on VSiN. Welcome back. Good to have you on board. We're in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot as always. More on the Week 10 slate here in the National Football League as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. And Evan Abrams joins us here on a Football Friday. He does a great job with Action Network, and you can follow him on X at Evan H. Abrams. Evan, good to talk to you. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that. Look at this Panthers-Saints game this weekend. Suddenly now in Week 10, Carolina is they're a 5.5-point favorite, and they're going to be super popular, I think, and Survivor contests, specifically the big one out here at Circa. What are you looking at here in this game?
I mean, yeah, bettors at the moment agreeing with you. According to our betting percentages, 66% of tickets, 81% of the money. People seem to be rolling with the sad cats in this one. But the crazy thing about this is the number. They haven't won or covered the spread in the game. They were favored in since September of 2021, 4 full years ago. They've lost 10 straight outright as a favorite, which is the longest streak I've found since the merger in 1970. Okay. It's absolutely insane. And then you look at the other side of it. I talked to you guys about this in the break, but whether it's Rattler, whether it's Shuttler, I don't think it matters in terms of this line. I think it is what it is based off the fact Carolina's 5-4 and hasn't been a favorite in any game this season. Now they are. So that is the turn you're kind of looking at. I mean, think about this, guys. 12.5-point dog to 5.5-point favorite. You don't see that every week.
You've been all over this as well. The Saints, historically bad in the first quarter, outscored 75-16 on the year. Let's take advantage of this. 1-8 ATS.
Yeah, unreal in terms of the starts. And when you look at 2 through 4 for them, it's pretty much even field. Like their point differential isn't so bad. It's just these starts that are terrible. I got a few guys that really like the 5.5 with New Orleans. I told them a day or two ago, listen, just survive the first quarter. And even if they're down early, it might be a bet to look at New Orleans in this one, because I don't think any of us like the 5.5. I don't think I could lay that.
Do you trust the Browns? How interesting is this, right? They are now favored on the road. They've lost 12 in a row on the road, and going back only once in the last 13 games have they scored more than 17 points?
Yeah, I mean, the line movement is probably the shocker to most people. Jets opened -2.5. Cleveland got as high as -2.5 or so, now down to 2. But 72% of the money right now on the Browns on the road laying points, just not something we would have seen. I think here's the angle I would look at here, and I think this is something we tend to see with NFL trade deadline week. So we get a lot of line movement based off of moves that happen between Monday and Tuesday, about 5 days before. Here's the thing that I found. So in NFL trade deadline week last decade, when the line moved the other way, so +7.5 to +9, -5 to -3, basically not moving in your direction, you're covering about 61% of games in NFL trade deadline week. So I think some of these lines are kind of flowing a little bit too heavy in one direction. This would be the Jets in this game. I know a few people that like the 2.5, and I think it's going to start moving that direction. I could see it close in 1.5 range, but these spreads, there's a little bit of movement here, baby, this week.
Yeah, and by the way, here's one thing that you can add on top of that. Since the deadline passed on Tuesday, Evan, there has been some serious chatter about using Cleveland this weekend in Survivor as well, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I believe it just because of the matchups here. But listen, the Jets gave up everything on the defensive side. Their offensive side looked incredible a few weeks ago and has been absolutely dramatic before that. So to me, we're going to have to see what Fields does here. But Breece is still there. Like there's still some ability to move the ball, maybe.
I feel like when I look at the board for all the games coming up on Sunday, my eyes keep gravitating towards the Lions lane 8, and it's like begging me to have them on a 2-team 6-point teaser. What do you have with the Lions in this spot?
Everyone thinks it's freak. 86% of the tickets, 83% of the money. But the thing everyone's looking at, 12 games straight up in ATS winning streak coming off a loss for Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. 12 in a row. That is the longest streak I could find in the last 30 years for any team. So everyone just assumes this is free. The one thing I'll say is this. Teams after losing as a favorite of 7 points or more, 81-57-3, 58% since 2015. Now listen, that is the Packers and that is the Lions, both coming off terrible losses. So have to see how they rebound this week.
Huge game with San Francisco and the Rams. Rams trying to avoid the sweep. How about these great numbers you have on Shanahan against McVay?
This is the best rivalry not named Harbaugh and Tomlin to me. And that's kind of the one we always look at when they face each other because it's been so many times. But this one, not too much of a backseat. Here's the best number. They've met 14 times since 2019. The underdog, 13-1 against the spread in those games. Kyle Shanahan, 8-0 as an underdog in that span. Doesn't matter if it's Purdy, if it's Mac Jones, if it's, you know, C.J. Beathard, which has been in the past. It's been a number of different quarterbacks. He seems to figure it out, and that's why it's only 4.5. I mean, they faced them earlier this year. Everyone thought it was a survivor lock, and never is with Shanahan.
It's 4.5 right now. Yeah, doesn't that feel like it's a bit high overall?
I mean, you would think so, but the Rams, I mean, most shows you listen to, they're power ranked as a top 3-4 team. Some have them even higher. Like people have them in the Super Bowl right now because of their consistency, right? Every other team you see laying eggs, you know, this week, that week, Green Bay, you can't trust. The Rams, people tend to forget some of the eggs and they think they're consistent. So I think that's why the line kind of sits where it is.
It's following
and listen, the tickets and money, exactly 50-50 right now. So you're getting balanced action.
Evan Abrams, our guest, Action Network. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Evan H. Abrams. I know that you were tweeting out about Bo Nix last night as well, and he is trending kind of in the wrong direction after a really bad performance last night, but they got out of there with a win.
Yeah, absolutely unreal numbers coming out of the Denver Broncos. And here's the one I like the best. They've trailed in all 10 games, but they're 8-2.
Oh.
There's only been three teams since division realignment in 2002, 8-2 or better, trail in all 10 games. One was the Chiefs last year. One is the Broncos this year. And it's kind of the recipe you've been seeing. Listen, under 9-3 last 12 starts for Bo Nix. He's 2-5 as a favorite this year. He was 8-0 last year. This is just a different team and a different recipe. And the crazy thing is what Denver's doing on defense. You haven't seen a team. How about this one? 40-plus sacks, under 30% third down conversion on defense, $2,000 is the last team you've seen that through 10 games. So that's the comparison on that side. And off on offense, you heard Bo Nix in the postgame. It sounded like a guy who'd lost the game. They won 10-7, but just barely.
Yeah. One thing here on college. Last couple of years, if you told me that an Iowa game was going to have a total of 40.5, it would have been an automatic play to the under. But they're getting Oregon this weekend, and that this is kind of a rarefied air for the Ducks to be in a game like this.
Yeah, the line gone down 3-4 points. There's been some weather looks in this one, and that's part of the reason. The other one is you see Iowa on the other sideline. When I do research like this, I'm going back trying to find as many different resources as possible, trying to find the last time an Oregon game total this low. I couldn't find it. I made it to 2000, gave up, and tweeted it out. So that's where we are right now. But listen, with the uniforms, with Chip Kelly, like the history behind all the offense, 40.5 in a game that most tickets on any college game this weekend, people can't wait to bet it. And 40.5, who would have thought?
Yeah, no kidding. That is well said out of you. Evan, if you ever get out to Vegas and Circa, beers are on us. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. See you guys soon.
Be good. Thank you. There you go. Evan Abrams, Action Network on X at Evan H. Abrams.
I misspoke earlier. 7-2 ATS first quarter for the Giants. Thanks to Evan for that. That is risky business to take Cleveland after what he ran down. I mean, you've lost 13 in a row on the road. You're 30th in scoring, 15 points per game, 31st total offense. And 12 of the last 13, you've been held to 17 points or fewer. That is ridiculous.
Look, I mean,
I know it's a tough week, but my God.
Paul, I'm right there with you. And look, I talk about having onions almost every week with my partners in Survivor. Like, what are we going to do? What's outside the box? Who can we get away with this week? We've never even had the conversation this week about the Browns. I don't even think I would allow it to happen.
Well, the same thing's happening again as 2 years ago as we talked about the home road splits. They're giving up They're giving up 13 a game at home. They're giving up 30 a game on the road. So some people, I know Joe Osborne was making the case for the over as well, which the Jets can't stop anything anyways, even though it is the Browns, but you trade Sauce and you trade Williams, another guy was benched.
That does make sense, what he said, by the way, based on the history of the trade deadline. When you go and look at numbers and they're going kind of against you like this game did for the Jets, because they're the team that traded everybody, still covering at like 61% of the time. Like this game has moved, 4 points in that neighborhood since they got rid of Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner? It's a big move.
Well, we'll see what Reese does, too. New play caller for the Browns, if that does anything.
They were people in the building today. They were calling him a football savant.
Tommy Reese?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
It's like, is that right? Good.
Yeah. I think you got to be a little bit older than that, too,
That's the word that comes to mind when I watch Tommy Reese programs in action.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul's going to recap a lot of last night's action and win some, lose some coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Horrible game for props. Genty first touchdown, 6-1. Alt under, 36.5, plus 250. An in-play dream with the total. Goal in the first 10 in hockey, 8-1 last night. Tampa, Vegas, first period over. 10-1 run, last 11. College hoops, Mercyhurst, 20-1 on the money line. They were 21.5 point dogs, outright. and Robert Morris was plus 290, and they won as well. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Rivers Casino, again, blazing sevens jackpot. You have to have the sevens, and the dealer has to have a seven showing of the same suit. Depends where you shop and bet. That Progressive could be a big boy. That's hard to hit. We went through the controversy at the Wynn with what happened, where the guy didn't know if he bet the Progressive or not. This individual did and gets $32,000. Very good. Well done to him. I put this as a win some, but it's also a bad beat. It's tough here with the dog. You see, you got the meat in the window, and he's trying to get at it and jump up there where he's it's not happening. You're not going to be able to grab that. Try the best you can, but that isn't happening. But the meat, peekaboo, there he is. Why can't I grab it? Can I get it? Can you throw it to me? Oh, good looking pooch, too.
They're unthawing the meat in the window, huh?
Yeah, that was, well, yeah.
Solid move.
Yeah, right. One, lose some. Again, the story's here. Living here for 25 years. We were talking to our good friend, J-Dub, who works here. And a story from the good old days when Aflac used to really get after it and loved to gamble and drink. He's playing on off the strip, and he's up $250,000 betting blackjack. And he's feeling good, and there's a large crowd gathered around him based on where the high limit was situated. And he's throwing $1,000 chips into the crowd and just grabbing, like, you know, like they're Skittles and candy. He's just firing them at people. Brawls are breaking out. Fights are breaking out. They have to walk up to him and say, yeah, you can't do that. He ended up throwing $90,000 in chips out to the people during this heater when he was up $250,000 betting blackjack. Incredible.
Kind of want to be around him once in a while when he's on a heater like that.
Yeah, right.
We need that old Ben Affleck back.
That's right. Another good story, too, where he was ticked off with the Hard Rock people and took out a marker and just used it to tip various people and dealers as well when he was upset for some reason. Incredible. Throwing out those chips, over $90,000. Bad for the book, Suns. +5.5 to -3. Pounded the Clippers. And IU Indianapolis Jaguars. Long Island Sharks over, 179.5 up to 186.5, and it fell 184. The in-play total got as high as 207.5. But a loser, if you got there very late, died late, but also a winner. And they play tomorrow afternoon against Butler.
Let me give you this. Good feedback from our buddy, okay, Chris, who watched the entire game. He said if they could shoot a lick, they would score about 225 combined. They shot 40% from the field. They got tired, sloppy, missed a ton of threes and layups. Plus, at the end, when it was close, they slowed it down to try and win. Very grinding offensive sets near the end. So what's going to happen when they play again coming up on Saturday, the total's going to go up. He wants to actually wait till right before tip and bet the under.
Okay.
Like this, you would have been a big...
You got that?
Yeah, great middle spots last night with that game.
Right. For the line move, sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market. They help move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI and plugged into trusted insider sources and active across the NFL, NBA, and college hoops. They deliver the edge serious bettors use every day. Free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been at it since 2011. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets every Sunday morning. Sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros. Watched by the books. And the AI selections are up 50 units. Sharpplays.com.
Let me give you a weather update. This game between the Bears and the Giants in Chicago at Soldier Field. Earlier in the week, we're looking between like 70, maybe a little bit higher than that, percent chance of precipitation. And people were calling for a mixture of rain and snow already. That has since changed. It looks like the precip is going to be done by pregame. And then it depends on like how windy it's going to be. We're talking about 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds, Paulie, with gusts probably in the 25 to 30-mile-an-hour range. Giants-Bears coming up. That, to me, makes me, again, look towards Jackson Dart with him on the ground a little bit here.
Yep. And what the Bears should do on the ground against the Giants. Big one for the Bears. Got to win this game.
Give you some more numbers here on the Rams and the 49ers. all available at VSiN.com. The Rams are 10-4 straight up and 13-1 ATS in their last 14 road rematch spots. On the flip side, McVay in the month of November, 10-15 straight up, 7-16 ATS, last 25 games in this month. And then you can tie in Matthew Stafford in his career. Well, this is since 2011, against teams with a winning record, 35-65 straight up, 37-61 ATS. A lot of that was with the Lions, obviously, before he moved over to the Rams. But that is a big number now to be laying. I heard Von Tobel breaking it down with his market ratings earlier today on Money Moves. He had a good point. Basically, the average home field in the NFL is currently worth a point and a half. So if the Niners' home field is worth that much, the Rams are a six-point favorite on a neutral against the 49ers. That's too high, in my opinion. I love this Rams team, yeah, but I think 4.5 is too many points. And they're taking, it was 3.5, taking money to get to that 4.5.
Wow. Well, if the Niners can win this one, they're going to the playoffs. And you might say they're going there anyways. Because after this, it's Arizona. You know, tough game on the road. But then Carolina at home, Cleveland, Tennessee. They get the Bears at home on a Sunday night. They close with Seattle at home. Who knows what's on the line and if Seattle will need it and if they sit people. But that's also a huge game. But they're minus 450 at DraftKings to make the playoffs. That seems high.
That's a big number.
It is. But you win this, you're going. Because you got three very easy games at the back end of that schedule as well. And again, Shanahan's done a great job. And again, you have to look at McCaffrey props as well, what he's doing. I mean, the season this guy's putting together, and it's quiet. Because all the talk is about Taylor and JSN and people focused on the Bills and the Chiefs. But this guy to go over his receiving yards prop every game and how many touches and carries he has every single game. And he's going to be a big part of the offense as well. And we'll see if Shanahan can keep him competitive and see if they could. Imagine you sweep the Rams and you have all these guys that are out.
I got to tell you, if they win this game, Shanahan has to be right there for coach of the year.
I know.
I don't care what anybody says, all things considered.
Yep. So, like Heumann said, you could always find a trend to back with the team you like or find a trend to go against what you want to do. San Francisco off a win, 1-14 ATS run since late last year, and they are 1-8 ATS in the third quarter, which is a surprise,
yep,
considering Shanahan's a good coach.
By the way, I think this number is going to move, so we should probably give it out right now. So if bettors want to get involved, they can grab it as we speak. What do you have for news right now with the Seahawks wide receiver situation?
Kupp doesn't look like Kupp's going to play, and Horton is doubtful.
Doubtful now?
Right.
Okay, so Rashid Shaheed, you can find him as low as 35.5. I'm not going to name the name of that book because I don't think they take bets, but he's typically in the 38.5 range right now. Shaheed, who comes in from the trade deadline, they give up a couple of nice picks for him to come over, and he was with Kubiak, by the way, with the Saints in previous years. And by the way, there is news on the Cardinals in their secondary. So no doubt the Opta AI stats are going to love Darnold anyway. But to give you the exact situation here with the Cardinals, they are without cornerback Will Johnson, cornerback Max Melton, and linebacker Mac Wilson. So without two of their cornerbacks in this game, you know, JSN could go for 180, whatever.
Yep.
But I think if those two other guys that you talked about may not play, Horton and also Kupp, Shaheed, who they just traded for, 39.5, 38.5 right now, that might turn into like a 45.5 by the end of the show.
Absolutely. 8-0 straight up, 7-1 ATS run against Arizona since 2022. But most of it against your guy, Murray.
Yeah, Brissett does change it for me a little bit here.
He does. And you got to look at Harrison again. Harrison yards over too. And it appears maybe DeMarcado's going to get a lot of touches.
So Harrison's low, mid-50s, and McBride's not that high. I think if the passing game is actually going to work, Seattle's defense very good, but it's going to be Harrison and McBride to do the damage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even look at the ancillary guys here for the Cardinals in this game. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN host Mike Somich on the program coming up next. He's going to make a great case for a team total under the number against this defense coming up this weekend next here on VSiN.